So again, four different occasions, I have worn this set of clothes or a similar set of clothes. And without exception, something has happened. At least one person has said one of two things to me. You look like you're going to a wedding. Or you look like a waiter. One of those two things every time. Am I offended? No. Why do I wear it? Because I particularly like three colors, blue, black, and white. And if I could only wear ever blue, black, and white, I would probably be happy, and then I would get tired of blue, and then I would just wear black and white. It's just the way that I am. I like those colors. I like the stark contrast. But this isn't a sermon about why I choose to wear what I choose to wear. It's about people seeing something and drawing conclusions. You look like you're going to a wedding. If I were to wear this just around town on a Saturday, you know what people would just assume? I was at a wedding. That would be the assumption. It might be wrong, but we draw conclusions. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it might be wrong to draw conclusions. Your conclusions might be wrong, but you will draw conclusions. And in the end, you have one choice. You're either going to choose to believe in Jesus, or you're going to choose to not believe in Jesus based on what you've seen, based on what you've heard, based on what has happened in life. You will make that choice. And it's been the same choice that there has been since this day, some 2,000 years ago. John chapter 12, we're in the last week of the life of Jesus, hitting the most important things so that it is not missed why he's here. Last chance on his part to do what he came to do. Beginning in verse 36, the second half of it. When Jesus had said these things. Okay. That is a tough place to start a passage. So we're going to step back. We're going to take a look at what things Jesus said so that we know what things he'd finished saying so we know why he's doing what he's doing. He says in verse 23, "The hour has come for me to be glorified. I cannot accomplish," I'm a paraphrase, "I cannot accomplish what I came to do without dying," he says to the Greek men and women. You're going to have a hard time believing it, but that's the case. "I cannot accomplish my ministry unless I die first so that it expands and multiplies like a grain of seed would." But see now, he says in 27, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it was for this hour that I came." That doesn't make it easy. God, I'm walking into a fire that I don't want to be in. I'm walking into a trap that I don't want to get caught in. And that's heavy and it's hard, but nevertheless, I will do it. Then God speaks to him and he says, "This came for your benefit and not mine." Verse 31, "Now is the judgment of the world, and now will the rule of the world be cast out." "The light," he says in 35, "is among you for just a little while longer." Guys, I'm only going to be here a few more days. Walk while you have the light. Follow me while I'm here so you don't have to try to figure it out after I'm gone. Follow me now when you see clearly what is going on. Because if you don't, the darkness will overtake you like that. And you won't be ready for it. You won't see it coming. And all of a sudden, it will be dark around you. While I'm here, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. Believe in me so you can become sons of me. So that when I'm gone, you're not lost. Then when Jesus had said these things, he departed from them and hid himself. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many of the authorities believed in him, in Jesus. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. That's astounding, amazing, ridiculous, almost beyond comprehension until I step back and evaluate me in the midst of this. That's the end of the passage. We'll come to that later. When Jesus said these things, he departed from them. He departed from them. Why? Because they did not believe. Jesus had shown up. He had done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in their presence so that they could see it, so that they couldn't deny it, so that they could know a blind man for his entire life had become a seeing man, so that they could know a dead man who they had known his entire life had become a living man. They had seen it. They saw the evidence. They saw what was clearly there. And they looked at me dressed like this and they said, you're going water skiing, aren't you? They drew conclusions that were totally irrational. Nobody goes water skiing in suit pants and a vest. Nobody can do what Jesus did without being who he said he was. Yet, they saw these miracles. They saw what he did. And they concluded, I don't know, you're just some guy. You're not what I want. So we're going to do away with you. Because they did not believe. Do you catch how deep this belief or not belief goes? This isn't some sort of cognitive development, though it is cognitive. This isn't some sort of emotional rush, though it's emotional. This comes from the very core of these people. Something at the very, very, very core of them either changes or doesn't. And based on that change or not change, everything else happens. Now, lest we think too much of ourselves, lest we start to think that we are the captains of our fate, the masters of our soul. There's a poem called Invictus. It's really a cool poem. Finishes by saying this, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And that is so incredibly wrong. But it's what we want to think. See, unless we think less of ourselves and more of God, we're going to miss what Isaiah says, which is very tough to swallow. What does Isaiah say? What does he say? What does he say that's so hard? See, though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe. Okay, we get that. These people, terrible, foolish, did not believe so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. They didn't believe for the purpose of God several hundred years earlier, showing that he had prophesied they wouldn't believe. They didn't believe because it was in God's plan at this point that they wouldn't believe. Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he's heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who have you shown yourself to? Who have you shown who you really are to? Therefore, they could not believe. Not that they did not believe. They could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. What? God blinds their eyes from understanding, blinds their ears from hearing truth, so that while the words are there and the pictures are there, they see the same things they can't believe. God did that? Apparently. The question we need to stop asking is, did God do that? And start wondering, why? Why would he have done that? I don't want to get into a theological diatribe. Not the point. Not the intent. We can talk about that at some point. But it's really, really, really simple. What would have happened if everybody believed Jesus was the Messiah? They wouldn't have done what? They wouldn't have killed him. What would have happened if they would have all believed and not killed Jesus? God's plan would have failed. God's plan required a dead Savior to come back to life, to pay my ransom and my debt. He couldn't do that without paying my debt. God couldn't allow these people to believe. Because if they believed in who Jesus was as a whole and in mass, they would have never finished God's plan for them. So without going any deeper into it than that, not talking about the long-term ramifications of it, not getting into that, in this moment, what we have to understand is God made it so they could not believe, so that he could accomplish his purpose in sending Jesus. It's really simple. Terribly complicated. Way deeper than my brain is able to go. But it's really simple. Because he stated he must die. Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw the glory and spoke of him. He saw Jesus in glory, or he saw his glory anyway before he was man. He saw God. This comes directly out of the passage, or directly after the passage, where he specifically has a vision of who God is. And God says, who shall I send? And Isaiah says, send me. And God says, they'll hate you. Just so you know, Isaiah, I'm sending you to harden their hearts. I'm sending you to blind their eyes so that my judgment becomes just on them. And now it's a prophecy about Jesus as well. Nevertheless, John writes, nevertheless, take all of that aside. Take those God was hardening. Take the unbelief of the people. Nevertheless, many believed, even among the authorities, he writes. Those most influential, many of them believed. But, I don't want it to say but. I wanted to say, many of them believed so they did something great. So their lives were changed. So they became who they were supposed to be. So they stopped what was going on. So they shared the message of Jesus. No, many of them believed but. Many of them believed but. And when I realized that contrast, that was when I started to evaluate me. And I evaluated you. And you should be evaluating me. And you should be evaluating each other for the purpose of helping each other grow. Nevertheless, Brock believed. But Brock believed But for fear of those people around him, he did not confess it so that he would not be put to shame. Okay, totally paraphrased that passage. But realize that's what's going on. Many of them, even among the authorities, believed but did not confess it for fear of the Pharisees, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Many of them believed, but for fear of those who were powerful. They didn't say anything about it. They hid it. They pretended like they didn't because they didn't want what was going to happen to those people who did. They didn't want to have consequences because they loved what they could get from those people more than they loved what they could get from God. Do you realize that's what it says? And just like that, it cut like a knife. Because I find myself out with people, and you know what all of a sudden I do? I make a decision. Maybe now isn't the time to share the gospel. Maybe it's not. But I find myself not wanting to talk about it sometimes. Because, I don't want them to think what they're going to think of me. They're going to find out I'm a pastor. They're going to make assumptions. They're going to find out I follow Jesus, and they're going to think that I'm like this. They're going to think I'm like that guy over there that I know. I don't like him. So I'm just going to keep it quiet. I'm going to keep it a little bit hidden, okay? I'm going to be a covert Christian. I'm going to be a covert Christian in my workplace. I'm going to be a covert Christian in my group of friends. I'm going to be a covert Christian in this group of guys that maybe for me that I'm golfing with or playing a game with or whatever. I'm going to be a covert Christian where I don't tell them. That's it. I don't tell them, and they're going to figure it out by my life. That's what they're going to do. And I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm going to keep it easy so that they don't think poorly of me. Friends, in reality, that comes down to this. I will guarantee almost every time you do that, you're doing it because you don't want them to think you're a fool. They don't want to think, you don't want them to think you're crazy. You don't tell your boss because you want a promotion. You keep it hidden from the people around you because you want them to buy what you've got. You keep it hidden from the people around you because you want them to come to you for something. Because you know that you're standing in your society, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's city or national, your standing in that society may go down if they found out. So you keep it covert. You keep it hidden. You make sure that you know it and you believe it. Mind you, they believed it. Many, even among the authorities, believed, but they kept it hidden. You believe it. I'm not questioning your belief. Really not. I'm questioning what you love. And I'm questioning what you love because I had to question what I love. I had to question what I love because what I saw there tells me that I make poor choices that show that I love something other than God, more than God. Yet, friends, he died for us. And that leaves everybody with a choice. That choice is simple. That choice is to believe and choose to get glory from God, or to not believe and choose to get glory from men. That's your choice. That's your choice. And once you have believed, then it's a continuing to believe. Because you know what's going to be hard? God is going to reward you. And that reward will probably never be seen by any other person on the face of this earth. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Three times, verses 4, 6, and 18 say this. And your heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you in secret. Your heavenly Father will see your fasting, your giving, your praying in secret and reward you in secret. Because if you do those things and you get rewarded by people, it says, or you do it to get rewarded by people, then your reward is done and it's gone. But God will reward you in secret for what you do, which means, friends, I probably won't know about it. Your neighbor won't know about it. That means it's probably not going to present itself as a new Bentley, okay? It's probably not going to present itself as some fancy, shiny something or some great ability or some talent that makes everybody love you. It's probably not going to present like that. But your glory that comes from God will be immeasurable. But you have to believe. And you have to decide that you care more about glory from Him than glory from people. Sometimes that means you're going to make a choice people don't like. And that's simple on a moral level when you say, I'm working here and I have to make a choice that honors God and you know, my workplace won't like it. But here's the reality, friends. Sometimes you're going to have to make a choice here in this group that people don't like. Particularly, that's my role here at the church. To put it in one of my friends' words, they pay a pastor to say the things nobody else wants to say and do the things nobody else wants to do. That's what I'm paid for. That means I will offend people. I don't mean to. I don't mean to make you dislike decisions that I make, but I will, as best I can, make the best decisions I can. Sometimes you won't like them. And I have to decide in that moment, do I care more about what you think or do I care more about how I sense God leading me? You're going to have to make that same choice in different times, in different ways, in this very building, amongst these very people. Do you care more about what they think of you or what God thinks of you? Because most of our problems come when we start caring more about what other people think of us than we do about what God thinks of us. And the rest of our problems come when we care more about what we think of us than what God thinks of us. Because see, these authorities believed. But. Let's not believe but. Let's not be believe but people. Let's be believe so people. We see the realities of who Jesus is and we draw conclusions that make sense to that reality. And then we live according to those conclusions. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for giving us life in Him, life that can't be taken away, it can't be stolen, it can't be lost, life that's given to us. May we now, Father, love you worthily, follow you like we're called. May we as people be believers. And because we are believers, we take that to the world. Let us make decisions that are for your glory, not ours. And at the very core of who we are, Lord, continue to instill in us belief. Amen.